Welcome to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. You are listening to a sustainability presentation from November 2014. Ms. Fanny Vermandel, Marketing Director of Dystar Group, presents Sustainability Stewardship.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me? Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm presenting you the Sustainability Performance 2013 from Dystar. My name is Fanny Vermandel and I'm responsible for marketing in Dystar. Who are we? We have Dystar Group has its headquarters in Singapore. Our vision statement is that we aspire to become the world's most sustainable and responsible supplier of colors, chemicals, and services to the global textile industry. We are quite dynamic. We are owned by the Indian-based Kiri Dyes Chemicals Limited, plus the China-based Lonshan Group. And recently we acquired the assets of the business of Landmark Chemical Corporation in Dalton, USA. We have globally roughly 2,200 employees. We have 14 production facilities in 12 different countries. And we had in 2013 an annual turnover of $822 million. So this shows a little bit our global coverage. Basically, we are mainly producing in Asia, where the main textile production base is, but we are also producing in the Americas and in Brazil. We have even an auxiliary plant in South Africa. When we talk about challenges externally, it's quite a fact that we deal with adverse climatic conditions across the globe. There are certainly also very challenging economic conditions. It is a fact that the textile and the chemical industries are two of the most polluting industries on the planet as of today. Production and usage of our products has an environmental impact due to greenhouse gas emissions, resource usage, water and energy consumption, and waste generation and water pollution. Increasingly, we deal, I must say happily, with more tough legal regulations concerning health and environmental impact of chemical production, usage and disposal. These are challenges. There are also opportunities. There is luckily an increased awareness and a demand for sustainable products, services from our customers and also from the fashion scene. There are benefits from integrating sustainable practices at all operational levels. In Dystar, we have a dual approach, more about that later, and we strive continuously to find new ways in product development in order to avoid any hazardous substances, which also to avoid the high energy and water usage, which leads to less pollution. So now more about our twofold sustainability strategy. On the one hand, we are aiming to reduce our own operational impact. For that, we have established a sustainability structure within the company. We measure our environmental performance by sustainability reporting, and the results I present you today are the reported and communicated for the fourth time. We started with the first sustainability report in 2010. So we implement emission reduction strategies and we have a fixed commitment to reduce our own footprint in respect of water, waste, energy and greenhouse gases. Towards our customers, we create a foundation of confidence. we guarantee product safety and environmental compliance. We offer sustainable product innovation, sustainable processing. We also offer sustainability services, ecology services, sustainable textile solutions, testing solutions, color solutions, and we even have an academic program in Mumbai. I already mentioned our vision earlier, but our goals are very in hard facts. We started in 2010 and we aim to reduce our impact by 20% by 2020 in the four areas: energy, water, waste, and greenhouse gas emissions. So how do we do that? Very important. How do we start with action plans? We communicate very closely with our stakeholders. We deal in our global operations with a lot of direct and indirect stakeholders. The management team in charge of the sustainability program re-evaluates the changing influence of stakeholder groups on the company. So we engage with the stakeholders to make the business decisions and reduce also our own reputational risks. We work very actively with chemical and textile industry on key issues, and we participate with a number of multi-stakeholder initiatives to improve the industry performance overall. Our sustainability journey is closely aligned to the expectations of these stakeholders. So some stakeholders are, but not only, the employees, the shareholders, the customers, the suppliers, governments, and media. So here are some examples of collaboration with external stakeholders. We are associated with a number of industry associations and national and international organizations who are seeking to promote sustainability overall. This allows us to build up relationships with influencers and to position Dystar as a partner. Examples are the UN Global Compact, Sustainable Apparel Coalition, ZTHC, Textile Exchange, ETAT, BlueSign, GOTS, Made By, AATCC, AAFA, and many others. So in 2013, we did a new extensive exercise and conducted a lot of questions to different stakeholders with the aim to reassess the key sustainability issues. So it's important that you from time to time really recheck if you're going in the right direction. So what were now the results of the key issues? We split that up by internal, external stakeholders, and then our own top management. For the internal stakeholders, it is very important that we use recycled material, that our economic performance is good, that the environmental impact of the materials used is okay, that we comply with regulations and we do proper disposal of effluents. For external stakeholders, the demands were that the health and safety impact of the products on the customers is absolutely complying. The product quality, of course, had to be good. They are asking us to comply with regulations. The products have to be labeled properly. And also the environmental impact of the material used is very important. For our own top management, our economic performance is important. We are asked not to ensure any human rights, to ensure that we are not violating any human rights in operations, that the product quality is okay, that we dispose effluents and solid waste in a proper way, and that we comply with occupational health and safety regulations. So now I come to the results of our sustainability report. So the four issues we are tackling. First of all, energy management. In fact, 2030 was not such an easy year in this respect that we produced more. So, but despite producing a more energy-intensive product mix, we succeeded in keeping our energy intensity at a similar level as 2012. So some examples of what we did to reduce energy in our plants, these are only some of our plants. For example, in Nanjing, in China, we optimized agitation time in buffer vessels. We also optimized agitation in the production process of cationic dyes. These are dyes which are used to dye polyacrylic or Nomex. We have implemented a better control of electrical heat tracing. We modified air compressor systems, and we improved the efficiency of a chiller system. In the other plant in China, in Wuxi, the capacitors were updated and the power factor was increased. The production process was optimized and the agitation time of the buffer vessels was reduced. And we replaced compressors to optimize usage. In the plant in Mexico, a campaign was run to save energy in electric lighting and use of electronic and computer equipment. In Portugal, we used less preheated dispersing agent. And in Thailand, production planning was rearranged to reduce the cleaning and the fuel consumption. Then greenhouse gas emissions. Also in 2013, the total greenhouse gas emissions increased because we produced more compared to 2012. But the increase in emissions is primarily attributed to the increased overall production volume and the use of more energy-intensive product mix. Just for information, our five largest dyestuff manufacturing plants, which emission most greenhouse gases, are Ludwigshafen, Nanjing, Gabus, Umuta, and Wuxi. Water, overall, we have in 2013 reduced the water consumption to 55 cubic meters per ton. This is mentioned there. Okay, it doesn't matter. 50 bits. So, water we are using, first of all, we need water for process requirements, especially cooling. But on the other hand, we need water also as a component of our products. So in 2013, we had an absolute water consumption, which increased by almost 5%. But overall, we had, as I said, a higher efficiency. So for water management, we focus on two main areas. First of all, recycling of water. We recycled 1.7 cubic meter of water, which is 24% of our overall water consumption. And on the other hand, we do effluent management of water. All our production plants have own wastewater treatments, or alternatively, they are connected to external facilities. There is an ongoing monitoring and analysis before we discharge any treatment facilities. Waste. Roughly, we generate solid and liquid waste material, both hazardous and non-hazardous. It's roughly 50-50. Hazardous waste is mainly packaging, which comes in contact with chemicals. And on the other hand, it's product residues and residues from distillate recovery, or from wastewater treatment. Our non-hazardous waste is paper, or is household waste material from the offices, is plywood, etc., which are, is not an other packaging material which is not coming in contact with chemicals. So we had an overall waste per ton production of 76 kilo. Because of a different product mix also, there was a slight increase in 2013 compared to 2012. So some initiatives to reduce waste in 2013 was that we were taking back plastic containers from customers in Mexico for reusing. And in the Reidsfield plant in USA, we had a 40% quantity reduction to the landfill because of a recycling program for cardboard, plastic bottles, glass, aluminium, and paper. So this is overall our results for 2013. For the four parameters, greenhouse gas emissions, we have, since we measure a 4% reduction. For energy consumption, we achieved already 15%. Water consumption, we are already over target with 21%, and waste generation, we have now an increase of 16%. So there we will have to work harder, much harder. So how can we help our customers, or how are we helping our customers to reduce the environmental impact? First of all, product stewardship, and this is where I'm mainly involved as marketing responsible. We work continuously to reduce the safety, health, and environmental impact of our products. So for that, we publish on our website also several positive lists of all our dyes and chemicals who comply, for example, to ZDHC. This is only one example. Over the longer term, we assess our products for health and safety impact at different stages of the product life cycle. Here, R&D is very much involved, and we work with them in close relationship. In 2013, we launched different brand new patented products, for example, in relationship with sportswear, five new dispersed dyes for the high fashion market, so especially sportswear, but also products for digital printing, etc. We also take care that production and manufacturing methods are regularly optimized. And we also work on the application side of the products on processes to reduce water, energy, and process time. So therefore, we have, for example, OptiDye programs and the Cera EcoWash process to apply the products in the textile factories. An update on REACH. In 2013, we did 20 registration dossiers. We submitted those by the time needed, and most of them as a lead registrant. Product labeling is another important aspect, because it's important to really comply with all the regulations, national regulations, and global harmonized system regulations. We had zero incidents on non-compliance. Then, one information on our division, Sustainable Textile Solutions. This is a division which helps brands and retailers to monitor and improve the supply chain and to achieve compliance to environmental health and safety standards. They are offering, or we are offering, as STS, services like RSL compliance assistance, assessment, ZDHC benchmarking and improvement, textile mill efficiency assessment, chemical inventory management, and root cause analysis. Then some words on ethical practices. We have there is a strong governance needed, and just to say that the governance is driven by the board of directors and the senior management team. The sustainability committee structure is headed by the CEO, and this is crucial for every company who wants to do something in this area. The support from the top is really needed, otherwise you don't get anywhere, because in the beginning it costs quite a lot of money and time and efforts. So then to close almost, ethics and compliance, we have a very strong code of conduct. And in the Dystar Group, we are committed to conducting the business in an ethical manner and in compliance with applicable regulations. These are, for example, compliance with laws, but also intellectual property protection, fair competition, separation of private and company affairs, etc. Then we also did some social initiatives. We were helping in a HIV project in Africa. We were helping in disabled people in Brazil. There was some food donation in USA. Disaster management was a project which was done in Japan. And we did some, there was some also some help for community assistance in Mexico. So just to close now, our sustainability report has been checked by the Global Reporting Initiative. Thank you very much. If you have any questions, you can come to me, or you can ask now. Otherwise, you can, beside me, you can also contact Steffi Schenk, who's our marketing communication manager. I thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. For your free entrance badge and other presentations, go to www.performancedays.eu. Copyright November 2014 by Design and Development GmbH Textile Consult. All rights are reserved.